this Torah is very power-packed. In other words, and relatively easy-ish to follow. It'll mention some Kabbalistic concepts, but very lightly, and extremely, extremely important. Rabbi Nizal bases this on a pasuk in Tehillim, Bakoroi v'olai mareim lechol es besori, tzorai v'oivai li hemakoshlu v'nafolu. Rabbi Nizal is going to address this towards the end of the Torah. V'zehu klal. This is a very important rule. Ki kol nefesh mi Yisrael, hum mushrosh ba'ayin nefesh shel Beis Yaakov. All of the Jewish souls, whether if we speak about 600,000 Jewish souls, are all rooted in the 70 souls of the family of Yaakov Avinu. Interesting that in the Parshas HaShavua that we're reading, we're just starting now to read about Yaakov Avinu. And the Torah tells us when Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, his family was 70 members, the Shivim Nefesh of Beis Yaakov. And Rabbi Nizal tells us here that all of the Jewish souls are rooted, connected to these 70 basic souls, the family of Yaakov Avinu. Va'ayin nefesh shel Beis Yaakov, mushroshim ba'ayin ponim shel Torah. And these 70 souls of the family of Yaakov Avinu are rooted in the 70 interpretations of the Torah. It's called Shivim Ponim Shel Torah. We know that the Tikkuni Zohar consists of 70 chapters, which represent these Shivim Ponim Shel Torah, which correspond to the 70 years of a person's life in this world, the standard number of 70 years. Each and every year, Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos, a Jew is supposed to try to connect with one of these 70 Ponim of the Torah. So that's on the side of Kedusha. On the side of Kedusha, we have the Jewish souls, which are rooted in the 70 souls of the family of Yaakov Avinu, and connected to the 70 channels of the Torah. And Hashem always creates an equal opposite force, in a sense, a parallel force. Shekeneged shivim nefesh al beis Yaakov, heim shivim loshoin, that corresponding to and in opposition to the 70 souls of the family of Yaakov, we have the 70 nations, the 70 languages, where each one of those 70 languages, now Rabbi Nizal says, Shekol loshoin veloshoin, yeshlo mido ro bifneyatzmo, ma she'en bechavrato. Each one of the 70 nations of the world is unique in one of the midos rois, one of the evil characteristics that they are outstanding in, that they represent. Umachmas hamidos halolu, heimeruchokim mehashivim ponim shel Torah. And it's because of these midos rois, that's what makes these nations distant from the Torah. We just started chapter 36 in Likutei Moran. We know, for example, the Gemara says that when Hashem was first offering the Torah to the world, He offered it to the other nations. And each one of them asked, what's in the Torah? Hashem told them specifically something that was related to one of their Midos Rois. And as a result, they chose to reject the Torah. To one He said that the Torah says, thou shalt not kill. What do you mean? Al-Char b'chasichya, we're all about killing. So the Torah is not for us. To the other one, it was adultery. So we see that there are these 70 nations. There are these 70 Midos Rois, where each one of these nations is outstanding and unique in one of these Midos Rois. And that's what keeps them away from the Torah, which is comprised of Shivim Ponim. Ukeshahanefesh shel Beis Yaakov bo'o begolus tachas yad Shivim Lashonos. And when a Jew, a member of the Jewish people, a member of the family of Yaakov Avinu, is exiled by one of these 70 nations, Hainu b'midoseyem horoim. This doesn't mean that the person is in their country. It means that the person falls into the midorah that's related to them. When a Jew falls into the midorah of murder, then he's falling into the golus of Edoim. When he falls into adultery, he's falling into the golus of another one of the 70 nations. Azai hiromas ayin kolin. Then that Jewish soul screams 70 screams. Kayoiledes, just like a woman who's about to give birth, shekoidem haleido hitsoyakas ayin kolim, whereby the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that before a woman gives birth, she screams these 70 screams, corresponding to keneged shivim tevin shebemizmor yancha, corresponding to the 70 words in chapter 20 in Tehillim, yancha Hashem b'yom tzora yisagev Hashem elekei Yaakov. That chapter has 70 words, and the 70 screams that a woman who's about to give birth gives in childbirth, those screams correspond to those that chapter of Tehillim. Shebeloize e efshir lo lele. The Zohar HaKadosh says, without those 70 screams, she cannot give birth. Now, a person is going to say, what do you mean? I was standing near my wife and she only screamed 4 times. The answer is, we don't necessarily see this in the physical form, standard physical form, but the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that there is this concept of these 70 screams that a woman must give forth in order to give birth to a child. And Rabbeinu Zal is telling us that when a Jew, when a Jewish soul finds itself exiled in a Midorah, that the soul has fallen to a Midorah of one of these 70 nations, that soul screams these 70 screams. And we're going to see in a minute why. What's the connection to a woman giving birth? Visehu klal. This again is a rule. Shekol nefesh mi Yisrael. Koidem sheyesh lo hisgalus betoiro bavoida. Every Jewish soul, before it achieves a revelation of Torah, or a revelation of Avodas Hashem, before a Jew is zoche to achieve a success, a major success in Torah or Avodas Hashem, azai menasin umitzarfin es hanefesh begolus shel ayin loshoim. They first test that soul. That soul is first put through the ringer, and he's tested and purified in the exile of the 70 nations, hainu b'ta'avoyseihem. This means the person is put through tests regarding all the ta'avoyseihem and midoyseihem of these 70 nations. U'kishehi bo'o b'midoyseihem begolus. And when a Jewish soul, which is something holy, something pure, when the Jewish soul falls into the midos rois or taivas rois of these 70 nations, azai hiramas ayin kolin, that soul screams 70 screams. Ki his galus hi bechinas leida. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains. He used the term before in the beginning of this piece. He said that every Jewish soul, before it has a revelation of Torah and Avoda, which I also translated to me like a success. So Rabbeinu Zal says that's a concept of a birth. His galus hi bechinas leida. Revelation is synonymous with birth. Ki koidem his galus shel Torah, because before there is a revelation of Torah, azai hi bebechinas ibur. The Torah is in a state of pregnancy, just like when a woman is pregnant, the baby is hidden inside her womb. So too, before a Jew achieves a real success in Torah, a hisgalus of Torah, the Torah is in a state of ibur relative to that person. Shehatoyra hinela mimenu, the Torah is hidden from the person, ka'atsomim bebeten hamaleya, like bones inside a full stomach, like the ribs inside, you know. Bibchinas, as the Pasuk says, v'onoichi hastir astir. Hashem says, I will be very hidden. So we know that there is this state of Hashem being hidden, and we know that Hashem and the Torah are one. Kutshibrichu v'ayrai sechadu. Hainu begolus bemidas bemidois haroi shalayin loshen. This refers to the exile that a Jew experiences when the Jew falls into the midos rois of the 70 nations, these 70 languages. Now why? Why does this have to be? Why does a person have to go through this before they can experience a revelation in Torah and Avodah, ki haklipa kodmo leperi, because the rule is that the husk comes before the fruit. Umi sheroit zalech leperi tzorich leshaber mikoidem haklipos, and therefore a person who wants to be able to eat the fruit must first break through the husk, the klipa, the shell. Lochem, therefore, koidem ha-hizgalus, before a Jew can achieve a revelation in Torah, a revelation in Avodas Hashem, muchruch ha-nefesh lovoi begolus, the person must first go through an exile, a darkness, a yerida. Hainu b'midoiseyem, meaning that the person has to first be lowered into the midois rois and taivois rois of the 70 nations of the world, kidei l'shabron, in order that the Jew should put in every effort he can to break those klipois, to break those taivois rois and midois rois. V'lovoi achakach lehizgalus. And once the person succeeds in breaking those taivois rois and midois rois that they fell into, then they can experience a true revelation of Torah, of Avodas Hashem, of Hashem Himself.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, this goes well with Har Sinai. It said that the Jews reached such a high level they couldn't give birth. But the other question is that in the time of Mashiach, when there's no more Yitzhara, how are we going to have His galus in Torah?
Good question. I don't know if this will apply then the same way. Could be once Moshiach comes, there won't be any more this concept of Yerida and Aliyah as we know it today. There won't be a concept of darkness and light as we know it today. Today we have Vayera Vayvoiker. It says, Korev Yoim Asher Hu Lo Yoim V'lo Laila, that there's going to come a time when it's going to be all light, all day. But for now, in this world, the way things work is vayhi erev vayvoiker yoim echod. That first a person has to experience darkness, then light. First there has to be a pregnancy, which is a tzimtzum, a gathering of blood inside the woman, the redness, and then there can be a birth where the red gets converted to white. First the Jewish people had to go down to Mitzrayim, erva sa'oretz, the center of tumah, the world, in order to be able by coming out of there and cleansing themselves completely from there, to be zeichah to the revelation of Torah. And this applies to the Jewish nation, and it applies to each and every individual Jew. Go ahead. Paragraph Bays. Yes, a question?
It seems like a risky concept. The person wants to have an aliyah, and then they have to go through and read the risks of going through the read. Seems great, and you can imagine this being misused, that a person, goes through the read, sort of shalom shema, and I understand that was the concept of Adam Rishon, possibly that he wanted to go through some read in order to get an aliyah, but he needs to pass. It's like a dangerous concept.
Definitely. Definitely. And we daven every day, Va'al Tavienu Loili Deov, Loili De Nisoyon, Veloili De Vizoyon. We do say that. We're Mispalel, Hashem, please save us from Nisoyonis, because we are very weak. We're not so capable of handling it. But Rabbeinu Zal's telling us, inevitably, in order for a person to achieve a real Hizgalus in Torah, they do have to go through this type of thing. They do have to be. Go ahead.
Is it a real dissension spiritually, or is it just a symbol of growth that a person perceives that they're lacking?
The answer is both. It varies. There are all kinds of possibilities. Sometimes it's an actual yerida. Sometimes the person falls into actual sins, chas v'shalom. Sometimes it's a weakness, a chulsha, a weakness. a lack of energy to do good. It comes in all flavors and sizes. Let's continue first. We'll do the Torah. With Hashem's help, we're going to have a lot to say about this Torah from Likutei Halacha, from other sources.
With my mind, there was no pregnancy. So, just to what Rabbi Maimon said before, it was the same thing.
The answer is yes and no. There was a tzimtzum of the Cholol Haponui, the concept where in order for Hashem to create the world, there had to first be a constriction. There had to be a removal of light. Right? And that's this concept, like an Ibur in a sense. Let's continue. Paragraph Beis in Torah Lamed Vov. Veda, and you should know, Sheklolius shel ayin loshoin shel midoisein horois halalu. There's one midoro, there's one taivoro, that's a composite of all the ra, of all the midois rois, of all 70 nations. And that is, he, taivas niuf. It is the desire for illegal relations, wrong, sinful types of relations between men and women. Vehu tikkun hakloli. And that is also referred to as the total tikkun, the general tikkun, meaning mi shemeshaber hataiva zois, a Jew who succeeds in overcoming this taiva completely, azai bekal yochoy leshaber kol hataivois. Then it'll be very easy, it'll be easy for the person to overcome and to break all the other taivois rois and midois rois. This is the big one. Ubishvil ze, and it's for this reason that Moshe Rabbeinu, lefi shehu klal shel hisgalus haTorah, because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu represents the revelation of Torah, he was the one who brought the Torah to the world, to Klal Yisrael, in a big way. Shehu bechinas das, Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah are das. Ki haTorah nikra reishis das. That's number one. Gam, in addition, it's brought in Sforim, in the Roikeach, in the Sefer HaKonah, Megalamukos, that the words Moshe Rabbeinu, Oile Bigimatria Taryag. Moshe Rabbeinu is Bigimatria 613, Shehu Klolius Kol HaTorah, to show that he is a composite of the entire Torah. We know that on one hand, every Jew has 613 parts in their body. We have 248 organs, 365 tendons, corresponding to the Taryag Mitzvahs. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, where we see that his name is Bigamatria Taryag, the name is the essence of the person. That's the nefesh of the person. This shows that he was the epitome of the revelation of the Klolius Kol HaTorah. Ubishvil ze hayotzorich lifroish es atzmoy mikoil v'koil. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was unique, in that he was the only Jew who was told by Hashem clearly to separate himself completely from his wife. K'moshe kosuv, as the pasuk says, V'ato poi amoid imodi. You stay here with me, Hashem said. And the Gemara, the Zohar Kodesh talk about this, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to separate from Tzipora, because he represented the highest, highest level of his galus haTorah, which required the highest, highest level of Tikkun HaBris, Shmiras HaBris. Bilam, shehoyo keneged Moshe beklipa, whereas Bilam, who is the opposite, parallel force to Moshe Rabbeinu, in Tuma, k'moshe kosuv, as it says in the Torah about Bilam, v'yoidea das elyoin, that he had heavenly das. Moshe Rabbeinu is Das of Kedusha, and Bilam represented the Das of the Sitra Achra. Gam, in addition, we know Oisiyos Bilam Meramzin Shehu Beklipo Kenegad HaTorah. The letters of his name, the letters of the name Bilam, show that he is the opposite in Tumah, in Klipa, the direct opposite of the Torah. Ki Beis he has Cholas HaTorah. The letter Beis is the opening letter of the Torah. Lamed he Soif HaTorah. The Lamed of Bilam represents the end of the Torah. The ayin keneged shivim ponim, the ayin of Bilam, shows again that he is the opposite of the 70 faces of the Torah. Umem keneged mem yoim shenitna Torah. And the letter mem of Bilam corresponds to the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah. And because of the fact that Bilam is the opposite of Kedusha, he is the 70, he's the cloliest of the 70 nations of Klipa. Therefore, he was steeped in this taiva to the maximum, taiva sniuf to the maximum. As the Torah says, that he was involved in bestiality with his donkey. So that Bilam was the bottom of the bottom of the bottom in Pigamabris. So we have Moshe Rabbeinu and Lahavdil Bilam Arosha. Now Rabbeinu Zal adds another outstanding individual to the equation. Gam Yosef, and so too Yosef HaTzadik, Koidem, who is the symbol of Tzadik. Avram Avi, the Ovois are called Avinu. Moshe is called Rabbeinu. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. And we know the Zohar HaKadosh says, Man Tzadik, Man Denotar Bris. How does one acquire the title Tzadik? Through Shmira Sabris, through purity. So Yosef, Koidem Shehois Eloi His Galus Batoirah, before he was able to achieve a true revelation in Torah, Hainu Chochma Bina, which is related to Chochma and Bina, because we said before that the Torah is called Das, and Das is the product of Chochma and Bina. Kamei Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, about the Torah, Reishis Chochma, and it also says, Ki Eim Labina Tikra, the Torah is called Chochma and Bina. The koidim shezocho lehizgalus haTorah, before Yosef HaTzadik could achieve a true revelation in Torah, chutzrich lovoi benisoyoin, he had to first go through a test, betziruf, going through purification, besoich hataiva haklolia shel ayin loshanal, in this taiva, which is koilel all the other taivas rois of all the 70 languages. Validei she'omad b'nisoyon, and by Yosef HaTzadik withstanding the test, passing the test. V'shovar ha'klipa shekod malapri, and he broke through the klipa, the husk, that precedes the fruit, that's zocho l'peiri. He was zoche to the fruit, hainu lehizgalus ha'toira, meaning a revelation in Torah. Where do we see this? Shehi Chochma Ubina. We said that the Torah is Chochma and Bina. Kamei Shekosuv, as Paroi said about Yosef, that now that I see how you interpreted my dream, Einovoin v'chochom kamoicha. There is no one who has Chochma and Bina like you. How did Yosef HaTzadik get to that? By passing, he had to first go through that difficult test with Potiphar's wife. Ubishvil ze dorshu chazal, and this is why the Gemara says in Brachos, al posuk achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. The Gemara puts these two together. It says that do not turn away from the Torah, achrei levavchem, do not follow apikursis, minus. Achrei levavchem zum minus. That refers to apikursis, which is the opposite of emuna, the opposite of Torah. V'achrei einechem, and that's attached to your eyes. Don't follow your eyes, referring to niuf, pegama bris. Gam Shimshon Holach Achar Einov. And again, when the Torah speaks about somebody falling victim to this taiva, the Torah uses the wording Holach Achar Einov. He followed his eyes. And again, note it's the ayin, the eye, and ayin is also 70. That this item of Pigama Bris, which begins with the eyes especially, is a klolius of all the Taivas Rois and Midas Rois of all 70 nations. Gam, another fact, another proof, Bilam Nikra Shisum Ho'ayin. Bilam is referred to as the one with the defective eye. Machmashahu Klolius Mido Ro Shel Midos Rois Shel Ho'ayin Loshun. Because Bilam is a composite of this Mido Ro, Pegama Bris Taivas Niuf, which is a composite of all the Midos Rois of all 70 late nations. Yes.
So, Rabbi Nachman is saying the highest Madrega, it would appear, is celibacy, Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we're going to have it in a few parshiyos. Yaakov Avinu says, Havel Libanim. I think the Ramban says, how could he speak seemingly such a low manner? Because the term Yaakov Avinu, this mindset was like putting on tefillin. It was no different. The Kedusha, there was no time involved. So, how do you understand that seemingly here the highest Madrega is to remove oneself from this entirely, like Moshe Rabbeinu, which people always say is a Christian concept and something which is not true. We're Makadish this Indian, obviously, the high Madrega, to Makadish. So exactly. How do we bridge those two concepts?
The answer is there's a number of factors here. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu had to get married, and he had children. And it was at a certain point in time that Hashem said to him, Vato poya moidi modi. And Rabbeinu Zal says here that it's only Moshe Rabbeinu, because he is the Klolius, therefore he was given this special instruction. Whereas regarding us, again, the mitzvah, the Nora, to get married, we know that all, just about all the tzaddikim, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you know, Rabbi Nachma, or the Arizal, the Baal Shem, all of them did get married. So we know, again, Moshe Rabbeinu is a unique example, and even by him, it was only at a certain point in his life. But there is, by each and every one of us, there is the days of the Yemei Tahara and the Yemei Tumah. When a wife is in a status of Tumah, we know that's a time that we have to separate. And so too, when a person is zoicha to be married, his wife is he has a connection to. All other women he stays away from, like from fire. You follow? Yes.
In this context, it's interesting to note that Rav Moshe Feinstein, I mean, Mubal is known, that he was pirated from his wife for 10 years in Europe where they lived, because there were svekas that revolved around the mikvos that were there, whatever exactly it was. Paskin, for the Hamonam, that they could go to the mikvah, but it was very far from a body, whatever it was, he was not going to have to do it.
Exactly. I've heard stories. Yes, continue on, sorry. Yes, exactly. But again, there's a balance, and we need to the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, to guide us exactly how does this apply to me. It's not hefkerus, and again, it's not the misinterpretation that the goyim have of their, we see what comes out from their celibacy. We see in the newspapers how, you know, how many of those guys were the lowest of the low. But in Kedusha, there is this concept of a separation. We know that Klal Yisrael, before Matan Torah, everyone was told to separate from their wives for 3 days. There had to be this precious, but not a permanent precious, you know. And obviously, in order for there to be a leda, there has to be a union, a yichud. By us, every mitzvah that we do, we say L'shem Yichud Kud Shebrichu Shchindei. Okay, let's continue. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to reveal incredible things. Lefikach, therefore, kishekoyrin pasuk rishon shel kriyashma, when a yid reads the first sentence of Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, tzorich lehatzim eseinov, we are required to close our eyes tightly, bibechinas ulimto shapirto deleslainin. This corresponds to the Zohar HaKadosh description of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is referred to as a beautiful maiden who has no eyes, as is brought in the Sofa Mishpotim and in the Kisvei Arizal. And again, the Shari Tshuva, the Shulchan Aruch writes in the Hilchas Kriyashma about placing one's hand over the eyes. Ki tikun, the Shekhinah is called this term, this beautiful maiden, which has no eyes. Ki tikun shel hirhurei znus shebo la'odom sheyoymar shma uboruch shem. Rabbi Nazal says that when a person feels that their Yetzahara is trying to attack them with thoughts, sinful thoughts of znus, the remedy for it is to recite the two sentences, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Boruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vod. Why? What's the connection? Ki taivas niuf hibo me'achirus damim. Because this desire, this tumah of pegama bris, taivas niuf, comes from a spoilage, a defectiveness in the blood. Hainu mitchoil. This is related to the spleen in the body. Those who study biology know that the defective red blood cells are sent to the spleen for repair. So the tchoil, the spleen, represents this damim achurim, this blood that's spoiled. Shehi lil, which is associated with the angel lamed yud tof. Shehi shivcha bisha, which is referred to as the evil maidservant. Imo de Erev Rav, the mother of the Erev Rav. Shehi Malchus Harishah, she is the symbol of the kingdom of evil. These are all terms that are used constantly throughout the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chasidus. The Tchoil, Lil, Shiv Chabisha, Imo de Erev Rav, all of these refer to the Malchus of the Sitrachra, the Malchus of Klipa, the woman of the Sitrachra. Umalchusa Dishmaya, whereas the heavenly kingdom, Hubechinas Gevirta, is referred to as the lady boss, you know, like in the case of Sarah and Hagar. Hagar was the Shifcha, Sarah was the woman who ruled, the woman of the house, the one who ruled over her. Isha Yiras Hashem, she is referred to as the woman of respect for Hashem, and it's brought that the second letters of Isha Yiras Hashem spell the word Sarah, showing again that she is the symbol of Malchus Digdusha, the Shechina, and also Sarah means to rule, Milosh Malchus. Shehi bebechinas yam shel shloimoi ha'oimedes al shneimosar bokor. This also corresponds to the mikveh that they had in the Beis Hamikdash, which was called Yam Shel Shloimoi. That special bathtub-like that was in the Beis Hamikdash was called Yam Shel Shloimoi, which stood on 12 oxen. Shehem Shneimosor Shifteko. The Zohar HaKadosh says those 12 oxen symbolize the 12 Shvotim, who represent purity. We know that Avram Avinu had a pure son and a Tomei son. He had Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu had a pure son, Yaakov, and an impure one, Esav. Yaakov Avinu, his children are called Mita Shlema, a pure bed. His bed was complete. All 12 tzaddikim. So that they represent the Malchus of Kedusha. And when a Jew recites these two psukim, Shema and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Ved, which are referred to as Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim, the first letters of Oil Malchus Shamayim spell the word Shema. Shekoilel es nishmosoi b'shnei mosor shifteko, by reciting those 12 words. The Shema has 6 words, and Baruch Shem has 6 words. When a person says those 12 words, they're supposed to be thinking, I'm hereby attaching myself to the 12 Shvatim, who are called Shiftei Kor. Umafrish es nishmasoi, and I'm separating myself, minishmas Erev Rav, from the souls of the Erev Rav, Haboim Meisha Zoina, who come from the illicit woman, Shehi Shifchabisha, who is called the evil maidservant, Shehi Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Mipnei Sorai Gevirti Onoichi Boirachas, Hogar, who came from Mitzrayim, she was a princess a daughter of Paro. She said, I'm running away from my master Sorai. Shehataiva Boirachas Venefredes Mimena. When the Malchus of Kedusha is strong, when Sora is powerful, then the Taiva runs away from it and separates itself from it. V'meinoi mishtadei legarish esu isha zayna. And if a Jew does not put in the proper effort to chase away this illicit woman, azai hu bebechinas shifcha tirash gevirta, then it's possible for the maidservant to rebel and take over her mistress. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, that chas v'shalom, there'll come a time when the maid will rule over, will inherit her mistress. And now Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki b'shnei psukim elu yesh yud beis tevois, because these two psukim, Shema and Baruch Shem, have 12 words, neged yud beis shiftei ko, corresponding to the 12 shvotim, who are called shiftei ko. And the Gemara says that in the Chumash, they're listed as Shevet Horu'uveni, Hashimoini, Hazvuloini, where Hashem put his name Yud-K, the letters Yud-K in front and in back of their names, to show that they were pure. Because the Gemara says that the Goyim were saying, the Jews were in Egypt, if they ruled over if the Egyptians ruled over their bodies, of course they ruled over their wives. And so the Jews are all impure. So the Gemara says that's why Hashem put his name, he put his signature, his insignia on each one of the 12 Shvatim to show Shiftei Ko Edus Li Yisrael, that this is testimony that they are all pure, that they remain pure even when they were down in Mitzrayim. So that's the 12 words. Umemtes Oisiois. And there are also exactly 49 letters in these two sentences. The first sentence has 25 letters, and Baruch Shem has 24 letters. Keneged Memtes Oisiois Shebeshem Oshifteko, corresponding to the 49 letters in the names of the Shvatim. And when a Jew says these two sentences and he's accepting upon himself the kingdom of Hashem, that Jew is becoming like a mikvah, like this Yam Shel Shloimoi, which they toiveled in the Beis Hamikdash to achieve purity, which we say stands on these 12 oxen, on the 12 shvatim. Through this, hu nifrad minish moisei in the Erev Rav, the person, the Jew, separates himself. He cuts himself off from the souls of the Erev Rav, Shehi Shifchabisha, which represent the evil maidservant Isha Zoina, V'nichlal b'nishnishmoy Shifteko. And he's plugging himself into the souls of the 12 Shvatim, B'chinas Isha Yiras Hashem, the holy woman, the woman of respect to Hashem. And when he does this,
Rabbi?
yes.
So what's the difference between Avram sending away Hagar and the Medrash Chazal that says Zina could have transformed Esav?
I'm sorry, the Medrash that says?
Yeah.
I didn't hear the last words about Esav.
What's the difference between a man being machnis himself into it versus a woman being machnis herself into it? Meaning, Avram has to send away Hagar, but Dina should have been with Esav, according to the Medrash Chazal.
Exactly. The answer is that there are many different bechinos of this. There are so many different level, different variations, and this is part of the avoda of the tzaddikim to search, to see exactly what their avoda is. You know, there's a time that the person has to run away from a test, and there's a time that the person has to go down into the tumah to be loit and his daughters. There, it was in order to bring the neshama of Moshiach into the world. You know, it had Loit had to be with his daughters, and Yehuda had to be with Tamar, and Yishai with a Shifcha. There was a story with Yishai and a Shifcha. The Arizal speaks at length about this, that there are different birurim that have to take place, whereby certain very holy neshamas, in order for them to be able to come into the world, they have to come in secretly, incognito in a sense, and they have to go through all kinds of tumah. Again, this is why Avram Avinu had to have contact with Hagar in order to release a certain Ra that was passed down from the time of Adam HaRishon, to release that into Yishmael so that it would not be passed on into Yitzchak. But, you know, these are things that are discussed elaborately in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus. But for us, under normal circumstances, we know that we have to follow the halacha. We have to play by the rules, you know, in terms of staying away from a non-Jewish woman, you know, and a nashgaz, nida, shifcha, goya, zayna, or, you know, all those types that are forbidden to us, that are off limits. Okay. Continuing. So Rabbeinu Zal says that when a Jew is saying these two sentences of the Shema and Baruch Shem, and he's having in mind to separate himself from the Tumah, from the Isha Zayna, and to connect himself to the Kedusha, Azai hu bechinas segiras einayim b'shas kabol asoy malchus shemayim, then that Jew is in the state of closed eyes when he's accepting upon himself the malchus shemayim. Lahoira is to show Shal Yidei Kabbal Asol Malchus Shamayim.
Is that on your side?
No.
You're the only mic that's open.
Okay, don't know what it is. Okay, let's continue. Lahoyrois, this is to show Shalidei Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shamayim Hu Bebechinas Ulimto Shapir to the Les Lainim, that when a Jew accepts upon himself the oil Malchus Shamayim, he cuts himself off from the Sitrachra, from the Tumah, from the Isha Zayna, and he attaches himself to the Kedusha, to the 12 Shvatim. He is in this state of this beautiful maiden which has no eyes. Shehi had taiva shekoilela samida shroya shel ayin l'shoinois, meaning that the eyes are closed to this taiva, which is koilel all the midos royos of all 70 nations. Okay, so now Rabbeinu Zal gave us a piece of advice regarding hirhurim royim, these types of hirhurim royim, chas v'shalom of pegam abris, Torah Lamed Vav, paragraph Dalet. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, this advice that we just gave in the previous paragraph, this applies to a person who once in a while gets hit with one of these bad thoughts, one of these sinful thoughts about women. Then it'll be enough for the person to simply recite the two psukim, Shema and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusai, and that'll help him get disconnected from that bad thought and connected back to the Kedusha. Aval im hu chas v'shalom rogil bihuru shel ha'taiva klois roch matzlan. But if a person finds that they're bombarded with these thoughts and they're immersed in these kind of bad thoughts, and the person can't disconnect himself from it, But if the person is bombarded with these thoughts, then then the person must cry tears when they're saying these two sentences, Shema and Baruch Shem. Why? Ki iso, because it's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, Shehadmois, Heimimoisrois Hamora Shchoira, that tears are a display of the excess of the gall, the black gall inside the person. Umora Shchoira, he toil. And this black gall, bitter gall inside the person, is connected to the spleen, which represents again the defective blood, the achiras hadamin, the spoiled blood. Shehi bechinas malchus harisho, isha zayna, shemishom nishmoisein de'erav rav. That's where the souls of the erav rav come from. They're connected to the tumah. Ukeshemoyrid d'mois. And when a Jew cries while saying Shema and Baruch Shem, Azai nitchin v'yoytzin lechutz hamoisrois, he's pushing out those excesses, those klipois, that tumah is being excreted from the body, in a sense, in the tears. Hainu ha-taivas niyuf, ha-boim ha-chiras damim shel tchoil ha-moisrois. The taivas niyuf, which comes from the spoiled blood of the spleen and the moisrois, the person is causing all of that to be forced out of the body. The koilel nishmosoi b'malchus shamayim. And the person is plugging his neshama into the malchus of kedusha. And now Rabbeinu Zalkei gives an incredible proof to this. And this is why if you look in the Targum Yonason, where it speaks about the incident where Bilam gave the advice that the Midianite women should go and seduce the Jewish men, and then Cosby Bas Tzur went, and she was going after Moshe Rabbeinu. She was trying to get, she thought that Zimri ben Soli was Moshe Rabbeinu. She saw 24,000 people standing up for him. She thought he must be Moshe Rabbeinu. So she seduced him, the leader of Shevet Shimon. And it says that the Jews, what were the Jews doing at the time? Vehema boichin Pesach Oyel Moed. The Jews were crying at the entrance to the Oyel Moed when Zimri brought this woman to Moshe Rabbeinu to ask, what's wrong? So the Targum Yonason says, Bachyan v'koyrin es hashma. They were crying and reciting the Shema. V'ze lo yosu elo kedei lehinotzel mihirhur shel isha zayna. The Jewish people were doing this. They were reciting the Shema and crying in order to save themselves from the bad thoughts, the illicit thoughts of this Isha Zoyna, Shehi Klipo HaKoidemes Leperi, which is the Klipo which precedes the fruit, V'lovoi Lehizgalus HaTorah, and to be zoche to get to a revelation of Torah. We'll continue from here, Emetz Hashem, next week. This is an incredible introduction. The next part is nuclear, you know, really very, very special. Emetz Hashem.